Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, the emphasis on the Veterans Day this week. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to be reading from verse 16. From the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confidence boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. Been in prison more frequently. Been flogged more severely. And been exposed to death again and again. 7 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father, the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas, at the city of Damascenes, guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. May God give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen. Father, again, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. It's wonderful to know that you are our Savior. And the emphasis today is on our veterans. And God bless everyone. Lord, we pray that we'll focus about hearts and minds and ears attuned to your word that's been prepared for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, this week, as you know, is Veterans Day. And somebody asked, I mean, if you're elderly, you're also referred to as a veteran, yes? And the teacher asked in a kindergarten, asked the same question, a boy, put his hand up. The teacher asked, what is a veteran? Little boy put his hand up. So a veteran is a person that doesn't eat meat. So close, but no little cigar. So today, being part of a grateful nation, we pay tribute to the vets, not the people that take care of animals, the veterans, for their service. And those who have seen the veterans' graveside service will know at the end of the service, the taps is played on the trumpet. Then the American flag that was draped over a coffin is then folded up very, very carefully by the honor guard and presented to the next of kin, either a widow, a mother, a child, a relative of the deceased veteran. And they say, on behalf of the President of the United States, not sure who that is at the moment, and the people of a grateful nation, may I present this flag, presented as a token of appreciation for your loved one's honorable and faithful service. Now, so from the beginning of our nation, we have been involved in many, many wars. I'm not going to recount them all. You know what they are, going back when they took on the Brits. And over 43 million men and women have served our country in the armed forces. An additional 2 million have been wounded in battle. Emotional wounds, however, have not been recorded. And many veterans are still haunted and have nightmares by the memories that they have experienced in battle. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Millions of veterans have answered our nation's call to duty to preserve our freedoms, democracy, and principles that are worth defending and protecting. So we are the beneficiaries of their service, their willingness to defend and protect us and this land that we call home. But where do these veterans come from? Well, they came from the farms, and they came from the cities, from colleges and university, from the unemployment lines and factories, but they came from America. They came from all walks of life, from all creeds and colors, but it doesn't matter where they came from. The fact is, and the most important thing is that they came. Amen. They came and they served a grateful nation. They answered the call of duty from every section of our American life because they shared this nation's vision of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They answered the call, and their lives were forever changed. Now, many of them served in popular wars and were greeted as heroes when they returned and are treated as such, those that are left, that is, that haven't passed away. But then there's others that are still alive that served in unpopular wars where this country was divided like it is today. And their homecoming was not celebrated at all. They weren't celebrated as heroes. And some were jeered and derided. And some were even spat upon for their service to this country. But each of them served faithfully in their day. regardless of what call or what war they were involved with. And we, a grateful nation, remembers them this week. Amen. Imagine the hopes and the dreams and the visions that they had when they answered the call to serve their nation. But what heartbreak some of them must have felt having to leave so-called the normal civilian life. And they had to leave their careers. They had to leave their girlfriends, their parents, their wives, if they had one, their children, and their home. All things and everything that they held dear, they had to leave behind to serve their country and to serve us, a grateful nation. Amen. And nameless millions of veterans have placed their lives on the line in battle so we could retain the freedoms we so easily take for granted. The same is true of the battle that Jesus won on a wooden cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago to give us the victory. He didn't die to bring us temporary pleasure or to make this life more comfortable. He died to offer us true freedom from the slavery of sin. And because of him and what he accomplished on that cross, which we'll remember shortly in that communion, because of him, we are free. If the Son of God sets you free, you shall be free indeed, Jesus said. Free to say no to sinful practices. Free to live a victorious Christian life, regardless of the circumstances, the difficulty, and what's going on in this sin-sick world. We're free to live in hope. We're free emotionally because we have a supernatural peace that this world cannot give you. Supernatural peace, regardless of our circumstances, because we are the temple of the living God. We have the Holy Spirit living in us due to being born again. We're free to live victoriously because of the blood of Jesus, the precious, sinless blood that was shed on the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice by dying in our place to bring us to God. We deserved the nails, but he took the punishment that we deserve. He made the ultimate sacrifice. And then the veterans, we remember, that have also paid the ultimate sacrifice by offering their lives in the service of their country. And many of our veterans, although didn't die, many have lost limbs. Many are permanently disabled and homeless, and in whatever form, in some form or another, they are suffering because of their sacrifice for this country. They still bear the scars, many, due to the battle wounds. And Jesus also still bears the scars of the nails that went into his hands and his feet. Another definition of a veteran is a person who's had long experience in a particular field. Some lived long, some lived shorter lives. Like veterans in the Lord's army, we think of John the Baptist. He didn't live very long life. He was about 30 years old when he died. But it was his time. He accomplished what God said, asked him to do, the mission that God told him to do, and he completed that. He was a forerunner that poured into Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was only about 30 years old. But then you've got another veteran that we read from his pen this morning, the veteran, the Apostle Paul, the same number, not just died when he was 30 years old, but he served the Lord, having been saved on the road to Damascus for 30 years, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, preaching the gospel wherever he went, and suffering the consequences that we read about this morning, his own personal testimony. But he kept on going. He didn't quit. He never went AWOL. Amen? He served honorably and faithfully. And that's what we're expected to do until the Lord takes us home, to serve honorably and faithfully in the Lord's service. Amen? Let us do that. Let's not go AWOL in the service of the King. And then he was executed, and he bore the scars of the floggings with the whips and the rods in his own body. He was scarred for the rest of his life. He bore those scars in the service of the King, and then executed like John the Baptist. He had his head removed by the Romans. He was executed by the Romans in Rome for his faith in Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist was beheaded for his faith, for telling the truth and not compromising what he knew to be right. And when nearing the end of his life, the Apostle Paul, he gave some advice to the new recruits. He was passing on the baton to the younger pastors, the new recruits. He was coming to the end of his life in the Lord's army. And he said, "Endure hardship." And he certainly endured hardship, didn't he? The Apostle Paul, he endured it. He didn't like it, but he endured it. And he passed it on to Timothy, the young pastor. "Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We are to endure hardship as good soldiers in the Lord's army. Amen? Jesus bears the cross of the crucifixion. Paul bore the scars in his body, and the veterans, like Paul, many bear the scars in their bodies. But like Paul, he wanted to fulfill the commission that was given to us, the church, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe all things that he commanded his disciples. And that's what many Christians in the Lord's army have and are attempting to do. Although their lives may have been very difficult and dangerous, we read in danger of this, in danger of that. He was in constant danger, was the apostle. And not just him, but many, many other believers in Jesus. But they knew that their suffering was all worth it. They were prepared to do it because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. He bore our sins on the cross. He suffered the shame and the derision and the hatred as they pulled out his beard, and they spat upon him, and they slapped him, and they humiliated him, and they nailed him, and they pierced his side. And because he was willing to do that for these believers, they were willing to do the same. And many, 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 many have lost their lives and still continue to lose their lives in the third country that make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the apostle Paul, they believe that they would be rewarded for their faithful service. And we too, Christian, we will be rewarded for our faithful service if it's done for his glory and for the right reasons. So Paul wrote at the end of his life, I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering. And the time of my departure is near. But I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. And I have kept the faith. And now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. Are you longing for the Lord's appearing? Biden may not last another 4 years. The Lord could come back, and he will come back at any time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you long to see the Lord's return? And if you do, you shall be rewarded like Paul for all those that love his appearing. So let's not forget the veterans who served the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords faithfully and honorably. Today we especially remember the veterans who served their country faithfully and honorably. Some of whom are here, and some who are no longer here, that sat in these pews, that once worshipped in this place. We remember them. And on behalf of a grateful nation, which we are part of, being citizens of these here United States, we thank each and every one for their faithful service. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, bless the veterans for their faithful service and honorable service. And bless the Christians for their faithful and honorable service to you. May we say at the end of our life, before we depart this world, that we have kept the faith, we fought the good fight, and we finished the race. And we look forward to when you, the righteous judge, will give us an undeserved reward. And we give you the praise and the glory. And when we receive those crowns, we'll cast them before your feet, knowing that you were the one that helped us retain our faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we were able to serve faithfully and honorably in your royal service. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.